Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you to all of you who've been visiting there. Boy, howdy, we had, I think it must have been a record day yesterday. Thank you for those of you who went there and noodled around on our site and checked out our blog and subscribed to our newsletter. We really appreciate that. That tells us that we're doing some good things if you're using the website that much. Because there's a lot of good stuff there that will help you get ready for the day and the week and the year ahead in your small business and give you the maximum opportunity to be successful. That's at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Josh Costell is all over our website. He's deposited quite a bit of wisdom with us over the years as a member of our Brain Trust in the form of archives that we have there, a number of them of all the visits that he's had with us in the past. Josh is one of our top salesmanship experts in the Brain Trust. He's a businessman. He's been a successful businessman and salesperson for a number of years. He's the author of a book I'm holding in my hand, The Science of Sales Success, and he's our good friend. Josh, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back, Jim. Real appreciate it.
It's good to have you back, Josh, as always. One of the things I think you want to talk about today, Josh, is something maybe we can have a little fun with. You're actually working on a book that looks at the funny side of selling, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. I've had the chance to travel around the world and be on thousands of joint sales calls, and I used a lot of that information to write, you know, a very serious book, you know, The Science of Sales Success, and thought that we all can use a little levity, and just have been having people from around the world give me some really good stories for a project I call Milk Through the Nose. Is going to be the name of the book, and it's also the litmus test for any stories if any of your readers want to send in. And the way we came up with the title, we said if you were telling a story and you were drinking a glass of milk, yeah. Henceforth the title, right?
You know, when you talk about that, I keep thinking about Johnny Carson. When he'd have somebody like Buddy Hackett or somebody like that on the show, and he'd be trying to take a sip of whatever it was he was drinking, and they would say something, he'd do the spit take, you know, and that was the best example I can think of. I don't think he had milk in his cup, though. I think there was maybe an adult beverage or something in his cup. So what's an example of the stories you're talking about?
Well, here's one, Jim, that I think a lot of the listeners can identify with. Back in the late 70s, companies were very big on psychological tests.
Right.
If you remember that, they wanted to see your personality test. And I had to go to a steel company. I was interviewing for a steel company, and they flew me up to Pittsburgh. But before I went there, you know how you can always count on your friends to give you advice.
Right, oh yeah,
that's
of course.
Absolutely useless.
That's what friends are for, right?
Right, that's what they're there for. They told me, they said, Josh, whatever you do, when you take these psychological tests, make sure you're consistent. Don't ever go back and erase anything.
Right.
The minute they see you erase something, they'll know right away that you're indecisive. Mm-hmm. So I have that just hardwired into my brain. I fly up to Pittsburgh, and I'm really excited about getting one of my first interviews out of college. So I'm sitting down, and they have me with an industrial psychologist, and they give me the test, and it's a multiple choice. You have to pick either or. They give you two choices, and mm-hmm. I said, okay, I think I got this, and it's 300 questions long. That's
wow.
The first thing I looked at. I go, boy, I wonder how many nights they made my hotel stay for. 'Cause, yeah, right? The first thing they do when you hear the, quote, instructor tell you you can take as much time as you want, you go to the very end to see how long it is.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so it's 300 questions long. I get to question 8, and it says, okay, what would you rather do, go to a really good restaurant or read a book? Well, I'm thinking, this is a steel company, they're real masculine. I'm going to circle, even though I love reading, you know.
Even though they want to know what you think, not what you think they want you to think.
Right. Right, right. So I circle, go to a restaurant, okay? I then get to, like, question 40. It says, what would you rather do, go to a sporting event or read a book? Mm-hmm. Now I'm thinking about what my friends told me. Whatever you do.
Be consistent.
Be consistent. So I circle, you know, go to a sporting event. I get the question 150. What would you rather do, go to a movie or read a book? And I really wanted to read that book, but I said, no, I no matter what happens, I'm not going to read the book. So I circle, you know, go to a movie, and this is happening. You know, I get, you know, question 220, and they say, what would you rather do, go hunting or read a book? I don't even hunt, but sure enough, I'm circle going hunting, right? Jim, I'm on question, I'll never forget it. I'm question 288. I'm 12 away. I have not read that book. I'm bound and determined not to read that book. I get the question 288. They said, what would you rather do, kiss someone of your own sex or read a book?
Oh, no.
And sure enough, they got me to read the book.
Well, here's the question, though. This is what we're all dying to know. Did you get the job?
I actually did.
Wow. Well, see, I'm amazed. I'm amazed. I figured that at the end they would say, you know, can this guy even read?
Well, you know, it's funny because you get the job and the first thing they do is give you a manual and say you got to read this book to know what you're doing, right?
Right.
And I just, you know, convinced them I wasn't going to read one.
That's pretty good. Well, now, one of the things that you're offering my audience is the ability to send you some examples of some of their stories, some of their funny salesmanship stories, right?
Absolutely. And what I'm planning on doing, Jim, is I'm going to put, I've categorized them by meetings, sales calls, dinners, entertainment, different categories that the stories would fall in. I'm not going to put their name, and then I'm going to try to run a contest, see if people could actually guess, you know, if they gave the book to their friends, could they guess which story applies to them?
Yeah. Huh.
You know, I think that would be kind of interesting trying to figure out, you know, how well do you know someone?
Talking about dinners, I have a friend who said he was right out of college and he went to a dinner with a prospective employer. And he said, you know, he had grown up in the country and you know, had really never been to town and had never been to a nice restaurant ever. And let alone, you know, where they had the sommelier and the wine coming around and all that sort of thing. And so for some reason, when the wine came and they opened. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our good friend Josh Costell. He's adding a little levity to our day, and he's the author of The Science of Sales Success. And Josh, tell us where your book's available, and give us your website, too, please.
Okay, my book is available in Barnes & Noble, Borders, but probably the best place to get it is at Amazon, at Amazon.com. And my website is MeasureMax.com, MEASUREMAX.com. And anyone has any stories, just send it to Josh at MeasureMax.com.
If you got a funny sales story, something that happened, and you know, go ahead and send it on over. He'll decide if it works for his book or not. But give him a chance to take a look at it. And that's Josh at MeasureMax.com, right?
You bet.
All right. And so you got another story for us?
I sure do. As you know, we were talking, Jim. This one is about seminar snipers. How there's always that one person in a seminar that's out to get the instructor. Well,
every time I've ever spoken, given a breakout session or any kind of a training session over the years, if there's four people or 104 people, there's always at least one person who thinks that they know more than you, who's going to prove to everybody else that they know more than you, or they don't want to be there and they want to make sure that nobody else has a good time.
Absolutely. They rather have a boil implant than be in that seminar.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Or they could just be motivated by making sure that everybody knows that they already know all the stuff that's going to be taught.
Absolutely. And as the former national sales manager of a Fortune 500 company, I had the opportunity to give many seminars. And I had this one class, which had this fellow named Lynn, who was the biggest seminar sniper in the world. I mean, he was absolutely committed to proving that that the seminar stunk, which is another way of saying that I stunk.
Right.
And I didn't know what I was talking about. And during one such seminar, this one guy just busted my horns every chance he got. He was relentless to make me look like an idiot in front of everyone, like you were talking about. And fortunately, his actions were transparent to everyone else. I mean, he went so overboard that I was actually getting a sympathy vote. And this was a 2-day program. So at the end of the 2 days, I hand out the evaluation sheet that we all hand out, that, you know, the typical evaluation sheet that went from 1 to 5. 1 stinks, 5 is great. And I told everybody that, please fill this out, I want your feedback, and you don't have to put your name on it. You know, feel free not to put your name on it. And again, there was 30 people, so they fill it out. I get them back. I can't wait to look at how I did, because I thought I really left it out there and connected with everyone except for this guy Lynn. Well, as you can imagine, I averaged about a 4.75. Just people really loved the seminar, except for this one evaluation. Remember, the lowest you can give is a 1. I got all zeros. There was 15 categories, and I got all zeros. So that night, we were having a dinner, for an end-of-the-seminar dinner. And the dinner was going great, and everybody was indulging in a lot of good food, company, and drinks around this gigantic long table. And I stood up at the end of the table and asked everyone to be quiet. And, of course, being a typical sniper, Lynn was on the very end, as far as you can be from me, with that smirk on his face. And I ask everyone to be quiet, and I say, first off, I want to thank everyone for, doing a great seminar and their participation. And then I looked at Lynn directly in the eyes, and I said, and Lynn, you're not going to believe this. You're the only guy that didn't put his name. And he just dropped. He stopped. I thought to myself, he gambled and lost. The world of seminars is now a lot safer. There's one less sniper.
He knew good and well that you would know who it was. But I can always pick out, whenever I've done those, and I have the evaluation at the end, I can always tell who has, even if they don't sign it. And I usually ask them not to sign them, because I usually don't want to know who they are. I just want the information. And you can almost always tell which one belongs to the sniper. But the lesson here, to me, the thing that I learned with those folks, if you're doing anything like this, and many of you have and many of you will in the future, do any kind of training at all with folks like this, the best thing to do is to look for those people. Have your antenna up quickly for them, because they're there. And when they start surfacing, the best way to not lose control of your event is to deal with them quickly, shouldn't you, Josh?
Absolutely.
My favorite thing was to say, whenever they would start their sniping, I would walk up to them and say, you're not going to be a problem for me today, are you? Or you are going to be a problem. And of course, it backs them off a little bit in the crowd. And the crowd, as you say, gives you a little bit of sympathy for that.
Yes, I found that works. And the other thing is to ask some questions that you can show that they've actually taken both sides of their argument.
Right.
Which means,
Josh,
all they're trying to do is just argue with you, right?
We've got to wrap up, but I want you to give us your email address in case somebody would like to send you a story that you might be able to publish in your book. Go ahead.
Okay, it's josh@measuremax, measuremax.com.
Thanks, Josh. We'll see you next time.
You bet. Thanks, Jim.
Josh Costell, ladies and gentlemen, that's with 2 L's. The Science of Sales Success is his book. Quick break. Right back with Carol Chastain. She's with the SBA.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.